Did you hear that blend I just did? Moving out of the music from the old show and moving into this. It's very exotic, isn't it? I wish everybody could see the dance that Anna Balavala is doing for me. This is beautiful. You know, the hands tell a story as you dance.
I have very few talents.
No, this dancing is going to catch on for you.
Telling you.
For those of you new to the bonus hour, normally it's Wendy Snyder and myself, but she's away on vacation, so Anna Balavala, the WGN TV Morning News, is filling in. Hello.
Go to the Dells?
She's not in the Dells.
Branson?
She's in Disneyland.
Oh, was there a Stormtrooper convention or something?
No. No, this is the only time her family has visited a Disney theme park where it's not Star Wars week.
Oh. You have to go to Disneyland more than once?
Boy, have you been to Disneyland?
No, never. I've been to Disney World.
And you would only go once?
No, I've been to Disney World 3 times.
And you say that's enough.
No, not with your kids. With
no,
your kids,
I
take my kids. We are trying to avoid taking our 5-year-old because he's not really into Disney.
Uh-huh.
And when we took our now 10-year-old when she was 5, my husband said, you know, we could have gone to Europe.
It's about the same cost.
Yeah.
It really is. I know it's an expensive
couple of days. But it was so amazing to see it through her eyes.
Oh, sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she was really into princesses. So yeah. We were princess chasing the entire time.
Because you never know where they'll be.
No.
Although some of the Disney parks, I think Disney World does this now, they have a designated area where you can always find them for pictures.
A few of them.
Yeah.
They put them, and then they have a map, and then every employee at Disney is well informed.
Yeah, as to where they are. Yeah.
Where anything is.
Yeah.
They should run the country.
It really is. It's the best run operation.
Goodness.
They've got everything
figured
out.
I'm sure you have to drink the Kool-Aid, but it's like, I lost my pass. Oh, no worries, ma'am. Here you go.
Yeah.
And they give you one.
They are trained to never say anything negative. Never, the word no never comes up. They never also, I don't know if you know this, they never point because pointing is considered to be a little too much. Something like if you go, I'm trying to find Space Mountain, they won't point and go, it's that way. Doofus, it's the thing that's shaped like Space Mountain. They hold their hand out.
In Puerto Rico, we would point with our mouths.
Oh,
over there.
You would
right
do it that way?
Yeah. I have people at GN trained that that's what I'll do, because I'll do it without noticing. I'm like, well, go there. She having a stroke or something?
Can I tell you, the saddest thing one of my daughters ever told me was Disney-related. Here's what it was. When they were little, we went there almost every year. When I was a kid, we went to Disney World almost every year.
But that's because you drove.
We would drive 1 year and fly the next.
Oh, that's
we
right.
always yeah. alternated.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Somehow that made sense.
See, no. So much cheaper.
My dad came up with this theory. We'll drive 1 year, we'll fly 1 year. So we took the girls there, Reese and Kylie, when they were little, almost every year. Not every year, but almost every year. And then when Kylie was looking at colleges, we were in Florida, so mm-hmm. she and I went for a couple of days. And I was talking to Reese on the phone, and she said, are you having fun? And I said, yeah, we're having a great time. We wish you were here, though. And she goes, well, Daddy, I would be, but I grew up.
Boom.
Ouch. That's a shot to the heart.
That's good, though.
But she's right.
She's right.
She's absolutely right.
If the girls leave one day and you don't have any of them living at home.
Kylie's already in New York. She lives in New York.
And Terry go to Disney by yourselves.
Hmm. Do you think that's sad? I'm looking forward to doing that. I think at some point she and I will do that. Because they're always adding.
There's no other place in the world you want to
There's tons. No, you know what? I've talked about this a couple
times.
There's
a little island named Puerto Rico where you don't need a passport.
I would love to go to Puerto Rico. The two places I want to go more than anywhere in the world are Japan and Australia. And from the very first time I ever told my wife this, she goes, not me.
Oh,
she doesn't want to go to either one. She won't go to either one.
Well, maybe take her to Epcot, to those pavilions.
There is no Australia pavilion. There is a Japan, but there's no Australia. No, she has no interest in seeing those.
Wow.
And she loves to explore. I mean, she and I, we go
pick
places.
Somewhere different. No, you go to Maine over and over again. And to the Ishnala. Great place for a supper club.
We do go to Ishnala a lot. And we do go to Maine a lot. But in the last couple of years, we've been to Mexico a couple times. We've been to Costa Rica, which we love. We've been to Turks and Caicos Islands, which we love.
Nice.
So we are,
I'm glad.
We
I feel better
places.
Now. I feel better now.
But she, and I have to admit, me too, we like the resort part of a vacation. That we're big fans of that.
I had another question.
Yeah.
When your dad and you guys drove to Florida, how long did you stay once you were there?
2 weeks.
And your dad had all those vacation days?
Yeah, he saved up his entire, he got 2 weeks vacation, and he saved them all up for our annual trip that
That's
we always
fantastic.
Took at the end of August.
I wish I could do that. when I started in this career, I worked for WGN Morning News.
Oh, you do?
You are just joining us.
Yeah.
And when I first started, under contract, they would said you couldn't leave for more than a week in
right,
a row.
Right.
Because people would forget you, or they,
yeah.
you know, if you're on television, they want to see you. They think
that
you're,
makes
you know,
sense.
Out of sight. It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
It totally makes sense. The longest I've been off the air has been 10 days, and it was last year because I went to Italy for my husband's 50th.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know those people who are like, oh, like my dad took us to Europe when I was 10. He took 3 weeks off.
Oh, how nice.
But then again, he lived in Puerto Rico. Holidays were off.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have holidays off. We have to ask for them.
But most of the world, like vacation time in the United States is the shortest of any country.
Yeah.
Everywhere in Europe,
yeah.
they get a month, three months off.
Yeah. But and then they also get the holidays. They don't get a week during Christmas.
Right.
But because I have to fly home to see my family, that takes at least 2 weeks out of vacation a year.
Yeah.
And so then all I have for a real vacation, not that seeing my family is not a vacation, but that's
more like
a trip.
Yeah.
You know, to explore the world with other people. Plus, I have no money to do it. But my point is that I find it awesome when people can go for 2 weeks somewhere in August or September or whatever. And I'm like, you have all those days?
1 year, I would have been 13 at this point. It was the bicentennial year. It was 1976. We went to the West Coast. We went to Las Vegas for almost a week and then California for 2 weeks. So it was a 3 week trip, and that was living because we're like, oh, this is the vacation that never ends.
Oh my gosh.
3 weeks.
It was amazing to be somewhere with my dad for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
With my mom and dad, but it was like so great. And we traveled. We went to like four countries.
Yeah. If you could go anywhere on the planet right now, I said, you get 10 days, you pick the place, where would you pick?
Italy.
Would you pick Italy again?
Can you imagine?
Because why?
We were only there for a week. Before I had gone there.
It's not enough to see
a country. I had gone as a kid, and you don't have the same experience.
Yeah.
And I'd like to go again with my husband. And I am fascinated, and this is odd because I don't like cold weather. I'm fascinated by the Scandinavian countries.
Are you?
I would love to go see that too. Japan is calling my attention. Before I wasn't too interested, but now.
Now that I've said I want to go there, all of a sudden you want to go. Let's go
to Japan. Steve and I will take you.
I'll take you up on that.
Yeah.
I would love to do that.
Yeah. And I want to take my daughter to New York City.
It's so nice. You know that. Tell me this about Italy. Because I've had friends visit Italy and they always tell me this, but I need somebody I can trust, i.e. you. The place in Italy I want to go the most is Venice.
So you trust me more than your lifelong friends?
My friends, yeah. Mm-hmm. A bunch of hooligans,
just
those guys.
I want to say that, Mike Toomey, if you're listening.
No, it's not Mike. It's other friends of mine. But Mike's never been. I don't think Mike's been to Italy.
No.
But I have other friends. All right, so here's what they tell me. The place in Italy I want to visit the most is Venice because when I was a kid, I had a picture book of places around the world, and I saw that the streets were made of water, and I said, now that's like another planet.
Yeah.
Here's what they told me.
No, it's
They go,
Venice.
It's a sewer.
No.
Is it a sewer?
Listen to me.
What?
Listen to me.
I'm listening.
My dad did that to us because they went to Venice when they first went to Europe in 82.
Mm-hmm.
And when they took us to Europe, my dad's like, tourist trap. We don't need to go.
Venice is a tourist trap.
Right? It's like, I was like, okay, fine. So when we went to Italy this time, Steve, my husband, really wanted to go to Venice.
Yeah.
I said, absolutely. Mom, I was like, you only need a day. Not a big deal. First of all, we were approaching, we had gone to Rome and we took a train to Venice. And as you approach it, it was a moment that I'll never forget. My husband was looking out the window and I was reading and he said, Anna, look up. And when I looked up, you saw this thing, you know, this city, this town just there in the middle of the water with the basilicas and all what you had seen in books come alive. Like, oh my God. And I was that idiot that every time we walked everywhere, I'd be like, the streets are water.
Yeah.
But okay, the streets are, mira. But,
no,
the
I'm
streets
with you because we like, don't see stuff like that.
You don't know how many selfies I took with the
because
canal.
Because the streets are water.
Water. And at one point I was walking. I'm like, we can't cross it.
Nope.
Cause
you gotta get a boat.
I don't know if I need to go again. Maybe because we were there only like a day and a half and it was packed with tourists and it was overwhelming and you get lost a lot. There's not a lot of signage and the GPS goes kind of nuts because that's another thing you're going to notice now. Before when you traveled, no one was looking at the phone and listening to some lady in their native language telling them which way to
go. Right, but now that's
everywhere.
How it is. Yeah.
Everywhere. But I had read in guidebooks it's going to be worthless in Venice because it's very discombobulated.
Yeah, yeah.
So you spend a lot of time lost, but it's wonderful because you look up and you're like, people live this way.
Yeah.
The tiny apartment.
Yeah.
And then the everything, the culture, but not a lot of people live there. Only 60,000 people live in Venice.
In all of Venice?
Because it's very expensive and it's flooding.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people commute there because it was packed. And there were Italians working.
Are Venetian blinds very cheap there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because they make them there.
Vertical, not so much. But
no,
the Venetian
blinds are.
Yeah.
Can I ask? Now, this is the most naive question I will ever ask you, and I swear to you, I don't know the answer to this. When they first built Venice a billion years ago, was the water already there, or did they build a town and then all of a sudden the town flooded?
No, the water was there, and I think merchants built it. I don't remember, but I know that I learned this during the trip. If I was my 10-year-old, I'd know this by heart.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't remember. But no, the land was already there. The land was there.
Because a good developer would say, hey, if you go that way 5 miles, you won't have to worry about this water all the time.
You don't understand. This flooding thing happens even without rain.
It's just automatic.
Because I assumed it'll rain and it'll flood,
yeah.
Right? Like it happens in Chicago,
yeah,
or in Puerto Rico. The rivers will overflow, or the ocean will. No. We were there during a heat wave, and the last night in Venice, the piazza was flooded.
Yeah.
Big puddles. Not where they're wearing wellies and they're, you know, they can't live.
Right.
But puddles in August. It has to be a pain to live.
Does evaporation not take place in Venice?
I'm sure it does, but it's the level of the water.
Yeah.
I always feel like when we say these things on the radio, we're going to get so many people like, these idiots. I mean, like, it's
they
like,
wouldn't be far off.
She read the Rick Steves book, and now she thinks she knows all about Venice.
Well, there's so much about it, I'm curious. But again, that's on my list of places I want
to go.
Because
honestly, it was magical. It was romantic.
Yeah,
it was mysterious.
Yeah.
We went to the...
Are there some parts that are dry? Can you walk
a lot of it. And we walked everywhere because my husband gets seasick very quickly.
Oh.
So, of course, he picked Venice.
That's a bad place to go, then.
So, we didn't do the gondola thing. He wanted to, right? And I said, honey, you're going to get... The ocean was very choppy.
Yeah.
And you could see the tourists, like...
Yeah.
If they go into open sea, it's kind of messed up.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really interested in spending all that money. And we walked a lot. And it was wonderful.
It was
magical.
I really loved it.
And it really feels... It doesn't feel like a tourist trap. It feels like, wow.
Does it smell bad? Because
No, not when I went.
So it's not really a sewer. My friends were messing with
me.
New York City
smells worse in the summer.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Let me say this about New York City, because I was just there last week, right, to see my daughter.
Why are you pointing at me? Disney told you not to point at me.
Well, I'm no longer an employee. I was an employee there for a little while.
That's why you know?
When I worked at WLS. All right, so...
So Val Warner can't point at me? The next time I go to lunch with her, if Val points at me, I'm going to call Mickey.
New York has a reputation as having the rudest people in the country. And every time I'm there, I say, I don't know why this is a rumor, because the people of New York always...
But the way you explained it last
so
week...
so nice to me.
No.
They are.
The way you explained it last week was that they answered your questions,
yes,
Bill.
Yes. But did I tell
you? No, like you're lost in Chicago and they go, do you need us to walk you there?
Yeah.
That wouldn't happen in New York.
That would not happen in New York because everyone in New York is late for something.
They
gotta go, they gotta be somewhere.
They are manic about something.
Right.
I lived there for 3 years and it was like being in a roller coaster.
Yes, always.
When we moved back to Chicago, it was like someone had gotten us off the train.
Right.
We were using, you know, we were saying, oh, you know what? I didn't want milk in my coffee.
Yeah.
There, it was like, no milk in the coffee.
Right.
Because no one had time.
Right. Everyone's in a hurry. But I don't know if I told the story on the air or not, but when I was in New York, we needed to go to a store to get... there was a certain kind of mixer for a drink that my daughter needed for this party they were doing for her app. So we went to a store. We needed 10 bottles of the mixer. They had 8. So I say to the guy, where can I get more of it? And he goes, how many more do you need? I go, 2 more. He goes, don't worry about it. He goes away. He comes back. He goes, I sent Sal over. He's going to the other store to get it for you. He'll be back in 5 minutes.
How nice is that?
I don't know if they would do that here. Would they?
Yes.
They would do it here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right.
You're not going to the right place.
I take back all my kind words. Yeah.
You don't live in the city of Chicago.
No, I know. I know. But I don't know how it got that reputation, because people are different in New York, but they're not rude like that. Like the rep is that anyone you encounter in New York is going to be rude.
You described an encounter where, was it Reese or, no?
Kylie?
Kylie.
Yeah.
We're in a cab, or was it Reese and Terry in a cab?
Reese and Terry were in a cab that hit a guy on a bike.
Hit a guy. They insulted each other.
Yes.
And they went about their way.
30 seconds of swearing and yelling at each other, and then it was over.
I lived across the Hudson in New Jersey at a town called Guttenberg. We could see Manhattan. So we would drive in every day. My producer would drive me because he lived close by. And we were driving in, and I will never forget, it was by the Garment District, 34th District, 34th Street, whatever. These two men bump into each other. They start punching each other in the walk, in the, where you walk, in the crosswalk.
Yeah, yeah.
They start punching each other.
Yeah.
Where, like, the guy's Walkman flies. I mean, I'm talking 10, 12, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And, like, punching each other, and then they walk away. That's how they, that was, it was 7 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Believe me.
I called my husband, who worked at UBS back then downtown, and I said, do not bump into anyone.
No.
You have a temper. Like, my husband has anger management issues on the road, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that here. Someone will punch you.
Yeah. Without a doubt, I'm not kidding. They are tightly wound in New York. Everybody's...
But that's not being nice.
I've not encountered the rudeness. Like, when you go up here, you hear stories about New York.
I haven't either.
And you think, oh, everybody's
just
out.
They're short. They don't have time for your crap.
Right.
My husband would do that thing of what I would never forget it. I moved there before him because I had gotten a job with Univision Network. So I learned very quickly that you couldn't be like, between the pastrami and the turkey, which one do you recommend?
Right.
Which Steve will do here all the time.
Not in New York.
He was in line, and I looked at him and I said, listen to me, you won't eat.
Yeah.
They have no time for your, which one would you recommend?
What do I care? Just order.
They don't care. Just order.
Right.
Right? And so we learned how to be that way, and we liked it. We loved living there. We felt like we were in the middle of everything, of the world. But I wouldn't call them mean.
No.
But I wouldn't call them sweet and gregarious and kind.
Tightly wound is the word I would use. Did you encounter this? Because... it's my wife and my daughters, and they love to shop, and what better place in the country to shop than New York? So we would go into shops, these boutique shops. Now, I'm used to stores here having what I like to call a variety of things, whereas in New York, you go into there's four pairs of shoes, and there's a lawn chair, and if that's not what you're in for, boy, you're in the wrong store.
Did they go to Soho?
That's exactly where we were. That's exactly where we were.
And you'll buy crap on the street that you never buy here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, why did I just buy this from this lady, and I won't go to the Renaissance Fair and buy it? I just bought something from a Ren Fair lady, but it was in Soho, so I bought it. But I won't buy it in Kenosha.
Right.
Come on, Anna.
It's the weirdest thing. I mean, there's specialty shops, and then there's New York, where you better like things a very specific way, or they're not going to have what you want.
And size, too.
Right. Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break.
Oh, we break?
Yeah, we got to take it. Yeah,
will Dometi Pongo do the news?
No, Judy Pylak's in charge of the news.
Judy
Pylak will be by in a little bit. She'll give you the news, and then there's more of us, Bill and Anna, on WGN. Anna, I hope you're not disappointed. I know you're a huge Dometi Pongo fan, but
no,
Judy Pylak is here. You also enjoy her work, right?
Pylak.
How could you not? Judy, how are you?
I'm good.
Nice to see you.
Just pushing the right button here.
You're getting compliments on your hair from every direction. Everybody's loving your hair.
I've got a shag.
Yep.
It's a very
An updated shag.
It is.
You're
it's not
like
David Cassidy shag.
No. Could you still ask for that in a store? Could you still go in and go,
could.
Give me a Cassidy?
Yeah.
And they would do it?
If they have bowls around, they might do it, because that's what I think you need.
Right.
I know he was very, very fond of his hair.
Yes. Could you tell?
He had a shag for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Longer than he should have.
Longer than he should have.
It was his hair was so shaggy that his stunt double, I'm not making this up, was a woman. Did you know that?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, the woman who stunt doubled for him. Or not just stunt doubled, but a lot of times, like,
and
during a rehearsal.
What stunts were they doing?
They weren't doing stunts. But they'll block a scene, and he's David K. He doesn't have time to sit around while they're blocking a scene. So the person who would stand in for him was a woman with similar hair. How about that?
God, I would love to be a double.
Who would you double for?
I don't know. Who's got a shag?
That's
right.
A
blonde
one.
Shag.
That's
but
a tough
think
one.
About it. All you do is stand there.
Yeah.
I had a friend who...
Bonnie Hunt.
You could double for Bonnie Hunt.
I could.
Do stunts for her.
Reese Witherspoon has
kind of maybe.
A shag.
Just the bit. But yeah, it's a lot of standing and doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of sitting.
Judi Dench.
Judy Dench.
Dame
Judy Dench. She doesn't do her own stunts.
Only if they called me Dame.
Dame Judy Pylak.
Just Judy. Dame.
Yeah.
Hey, you, Dame.
Hey, Dame.
No one says that anymore.
Down by there, Dame. Down by there, Dame.
Over there, Dame.
really think that Skilling's going to start resenting you guys.
Do you think he is?
Because now that
why?
You're up here and you can see the clouds, you think you could really tell the weather. No offense, Judy, but he's going to call.
You.
We're high up now.
Because
we're on the 18th floor.
As I recall, Skilling's like in the basement, isn't he?
No.
He used to be.
We don't have a basement.
Where do they
basement.
Keep Tom Skilling?
That's
in a bunker.
Where, you know, that's where we
bunker?
Used to be, WGN Radio.
Yes.
We
used to be in a basement. Yes. It's like you worked at a mall and they hid you.
Oh, my gosh.
No, he has no windows in his office.
And it's just one floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one floor up.
Yeah,
but he lives
enough.
In a high rise.
So he goes home, looks around, sees what the weather is, and then races to work and the reports
pretty
on
much.
It there.
That's
oh,
how
wow.
Conrad does it too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't even use like the
the service, the Doppler radar.
The Doppler radar.
I shouldn't say that because they've spent a lot of money, their equipment, and they're the most trusted word. In meteorology in the city of Chicago.
But I mean, you can't get past the fact that seeing it is the best.
Yeah.
Right? We're looking at it right now. What's Doppler showing?
No. I hope he doesn't listen to the podcast because his feelings are going to be silent.
No one wants to hurt
all of a sudden, Pilak is an experimented meteorologist. Do you know if that's a cumulus or do you know if that's a whatever?
Did you
Everyone
hear the day?
This hour.
Did you hear the day I got in a cab and the cab driver was from West Africa
and
he was so excited about Tom Skilling?
I know.
And all he wanted to know is if he made $500,000 a year or not. And I don't know the answer to that. I'm guessing yes, but I don't
That's
know for
what
sure.
He wanted to know.
I do because this is how we all renegotiate our contracts. But Skilling,
he kept saying,
"But you're not Tom
Mr.
Skilling."
Mr. Tom Skilling, is he a rich man? I go, "Yeah, I guess he's probably pretty rich." And then he looked at me in that rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. We made eye contact, and he goes, "Does he earn more than $500,000 a year?" Because to him, that was the cutoff of rich and not rich.
And
was
what
a
did
half
you
a
say?
Million a year. I said, "I don't know for sure, but my guess would be, probably just over." Probably $500,000 and some change.
Yeah.
Right?
After
taxes. After taxes, right. And he gets tips, too, doesn't he? He gets to keep his tips.
Oh, yeah. When he gets it right, they
tip him. Yeah, they tip him. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my question. The story came out about the CVS manager, and he has now been... Was he fired or did he leave his post? Do we know that?
Well, two people were fired. I believe he was fired because he was apparently the one...
Maury Mattson's his name. A woman comes in, Camilla Hudson is her name, and she wants to use a coupon at the CVS. And then he believes the coupon to somehow be fake. So he calls the police. Now we have that audio, and we'll play it. Here's what you can't see because it's audio, but I will share it with you. He seems extremely nervous during this. His hand is shaking. His whole arm is shaking. Now, to be fair, I don't know this man, so it's possible he always has this going on.
Yeah, I saw it, too, and it seems a little bit odd.
Is he nervous.
Right. Or he has a shake.
Or he has
Because
serious...
that's how pronounced it is.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, so here's him calling the police on this woman, Camilla Hudson, to say that she's in the store and she's trying
to
falsify...
She may have a fake coupon.
Right. There's
the
potential.
Horror.
Yes. Imagine this.
50 cents off bread.
Right. All right, here's the audio. Listen, it's a minute long.
She's wearing a green...
tell them I'll be here when they arrive, that I will be waiting for them to arrive.
A white...
You can tell them her name is Camilla Hudson. I have ID and we'll share
Camilla
it.
Camilla Hudson. Probably spelled C A M I L L A H.
You got it. Exactly. Like the river.
Maury, M O R R Y, Mattson, M A T S O N. African American.
Black. No, I'm not African American. I'm black. Black isn't a bad word.
All right. Thank you.
All right, so a couple of questions come to mind right away. First of all, worst case scenario, you have a customer who has falsified a coupon. Can't you just say...
Yeah, take it away and don't give her the discount.
How do you falsify a coupon? Did she write over the date?
But with a printer, you know, there are coupons that I've got where it's an online coupon, so you print it out. And you could, if you wanted to, manipulate it, you could. I'm not saying she did. I don't think she would. She would have left.
I'm surprised you could.
Right.
Don't they have the technology yet that doesn't lie? Well, okay, so let's say she did.
Right. All right.
So she doesn't sound like she did because she's giving out her name. And
right. She's not embarrassed. No, she right. she oh. says, bring them on. I'm going to wait here for them. All right. What did he do? What could he have done better then? Right? You didn't need to call
this?
The police.
How about this? No, we're not going to accept
we're
that
We're not accepting
coupon.
Your coupon.
Right. You could have. If it appeared to you that
she
was
she could then
fake
call
coupon.
The police, I guess, but that's what would have been the best thing to do.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't say she's here all the time trying to use false coupons.
Right.
Here's she wants, $10 off.
Right.
I mean, what kind of coupon was it?
I don't know. No, I can't find that in the story. I keep looking for it. I can't find it. Is this a racial issue? I mean, it became a racial issue. Every store, every news store since yesterday that's reported on this has said white manager, black customer. So it's become a racial issue. Did it have to be a racial issue?
Well, you know what? I say this all the time when people are like, well, like with the South Side, South Shore shooting, and he did resist. So why do they resist? You know what? They get sick of it.
Yeah.
And I think this is an example. How many times, I wonder, I don't know, has that woman maybe been stopped?
Right.
Maybe has been followed at
maybe
the
told,
store.
Yeah, where can I see your ID? For no reason.
For no reason.
Yeah. I don't doubt for a second that happened.
We haven't lived in those shoes. And that's why, and I resist talking about these things because I don't know what I'm going to cover tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
I'm at around town, but I still work at a newsroom. So
right.
I can't be blatant about what I'm going to tell you. But you have to live in other people's shoes. Life is not black and white. There are gray areas to everything.
Right.
And if you've lived in a neighborhood where the police hasn't been as nice, where you have had friends that have been stopped.
Yeah.
And for no reason, and then shot at from behind, you are going to be scared for your life.
I
have friends
it.
With black sons that have to have conversations with them that I don't have to have with my white
right,
son.
So,
you know?
What you're referring to there?
So this woman's probably fed up that she goes to CVS, and if she's trying lip glosses, they're staring at her because she's black. I go into CVS, and they offer me lip glosses too, and it happens to Hispanics too. I just happen to be very white.
Yeah.
You know, but it that is what infuriates me. It's the same thing as why do you have Hispanic Heritage Month? Because the rest of the year it tends to be white. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
It's a month where you create awareness. And I think people are fed up. Yes, you are the authority. But my mother was one that was stopped for a speeding ticket and would be like, oh, you feel so emboldened. But she would give lip to the cop. And the most that they would tell her was, ma'am, stop it.
Yeah.
Right.
If my mom was black, that wasn't going to happen.
I know.
So that's where I'm like, oh, well, he should have done what the cops told him. You're not there. You haven't lived in this situation. And it just so happens that sometimes they do what the cops tell them and they end up dead.
Yeah.
Or they end up chased.
On the show less than a year ago, we had an almost identical conversation where people called in and said, we've had to have what is referred to in the black community as the talk with our sons to explain to them that even though we want life to be fair and balanced, it isn't always fair and balanced, and you will be treated differently just because you're a black male.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. You know, you have to be extra vigilant, extra careful, extra nice, you know. It's sad that it has to be that way. I just wondered, as I heard the story first reported yesterday, did this need to be a racial thing? But I guess because it was a black woman, and she insisted that the manager referred to her as a black woman, not African American, that the rules were a little bit different for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this guy, anyway, it was perceived that he thought she was cheating, trying to cheat the system by bringing in a fake coupon. How would it have been played out differently if it was a white woman or a black manager? Would it have been a different story?
We will never know.
Yeah, we won't. But my feeling is
it would have
been a different story. We wouldn't, we wouldn't be making this big of a deal about
it.
Yeah. That's
you're
too
right.
Bad. That in and of itself is too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad. It is too bad. And I hope it's not about race, but I'm just looking at the surface. I'm just looking at what's there and how many times this happens. How many times, I don't get pulled over. I don't get stopped ever. I mean, but when I am driving down the street and the cars that are pulled over, Majority are black people.
You've heard the phrase DWB,
mm-hmm.
right? Driving while black.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be a crime, somehow has become a crime.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Awful. The first time I heard that, I thought it was quite funny.
Well,
in a very sad way, no, but I'm like, what does that mean?
The first time I heard it, it was a stand-up doing a joke, and the crowd went nuts, and then somebody said to me, they go, that's a real thing. I go, no, it's not a real thing. No, it is a real thing.
Yep. And brown, too.
That's all it takes sometimes to be pulled
over. Many years ago, when I was covering news for Univision here, there was a police department in the northern suburbs, in the North Shore, that had kind of, and there was audio about it, he had kind of a guideline that said if they're wearing a cowboy hat and they're Mexican, stop them because they're probably drunk. What is that?
Racial profiling.
Racial profiling. Yep.
Is that
right? It happens. It happens. It's
yeah.
not a myth. And listen, I've become even more worried because I speak Spanish to my kids.
Yeah.
All the time. It's how I want them to keep the language going.
Yeah.
And I have a 5-year-old who tells me, speak in English, please. And I'm like, what is your problem? Because he doesn't understand that being diverse and being bilingual is important.
Yeah.
And after the New York thing happened, where the guy went berserk because someone was asking for, you know, ordering food in Spanish because he knew the person behind the counter spoke Spanish. I said, and that's New York City. And look at what happened at Caldwell Woods.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue speaking Spanish, but I'm waiting for the day that someone tells me you're doing a disservice to your kids. This is the United States of America. Speak in American.
Right.
Or speak in United States, how a coworker used to tell me.
See, you're doing it exactly right. And you said it. You just said it a minute ago. You have to teach your children about diversity. Even if you're not speaking Spanish, you have to teach them.
Yeah.
That's what didn't happen to a generation ago or two generations. Or what they taught them was not the right thing, which is be afraid of black people or brown people and, you know, whites, whatever. But I mean, so it's a constant, you know, we get more intelligent as time goes on. Right?
I used
some
to,
people.
I used to think that. I don't know that I think that anymore. I really don't.
See, I can't not believe that. I want to believe it. We get smarter. We get more open. And then we, you know, you teach the young people about the stuff.
Sure.
That would be common sense, but it doesn't happen that way.
No, it doesn't always happen that way.
We got to keep trying.
Jasmine, are you okay to talk about this? Are you comfortable talking about this?
Yes.
Have you ever felt, as a black woman, that you've been treated differently? You're walking through a store. Are more eyes on you? Is there some mistrust just simply because you're black?
Yeah, all the time.
It happens all the time.
All the time.
What do you do to combat that, or can you?
I had an incident, actually. One time I was at Sally's beauty supply store, and I'm just looking around, and the man follows me over and over again. And I said, excuse me, is it okay for me to shop because I'm black? And he walked away. He looked like, oh, sorry, and walked away from me. And I was just like, my gosh, like, I'm just looking like everybody else.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How did that make you feel?
It made me feel like I was a shoplifter.
Uh-huh. I mean, and I feel like, and you know, Jazzy is such a great person and I think can handle it. But I mean, after a while, I think people get bitter,
It grinds on you.
Yes. And then you get mad.
Yeah. So I see where that black woman is coming from when she said,
And did you notice that she was in total control, which is the same thing that happened at Caldwell Woods. That woman just let him rant and just watched, because as they say, when they go low, we go high.
Right.
We have everything to lose if we lose it.
Right.
If we go belligerent, then it's like, that Puerto Rican lady went nuts. Because they're nuts.
They're going to get blamed.
Or that black girl, why did she be hit? Which is the same thing as, why didn't he stop and just let the cop berate him?
Right.
Which is not what we're saying happened in the South Shore. I don't know what happened in the South Shore. We haven't seen the entire video. But it is not necessarily the rule for everyone.
Sure.
It doesn't work the same for everyone.
Right.
Just like, it's always a joke. My accent to people sounds funky. The British accent sounds smart. I could have a PhD and they're like, are you working in the kitchen? But some guy can talk about going to the bathroom with a British accent. And they're like, he's brilliant. Because,
yeah.
you know, that is a chip on the shoulder that's very hard to get rid of.
Yeah.
You know?
Jez, when you were growing up, was there ever a time that your mom and dad took you aside and said, just simply because we're black, you will be treated differently and you have to play by the rules to the letter. You can't, there's no room to mess around. Did that ever happen?
Yes.
It did.
A bunch of times. At first, I thought they were being funny about it, but when I actually had an interaction when I was younger, actually, I shouldn't talk about this, so I should. Okay, so my neighbors.
you don't have to say who they are.
They're amazing, but they were predominantly white family. They had one kid that they adopted that was African American. So she came up to me, the African American girl, and she said, I have a question to ask you. So why is it that when I try to hang out with my friends and my family's friends, their kids, they like separate me from others? And I say, I don't know what's wrong. You know, is it something funny about it? She's like, no, they just kind of separate me as the other child. And I just felt so terrible.
Oh,
and I was
my
like,
gosh.
I don't feel that way, but maybe because you guys look different. And she's like, I don't think looks matter. And I just thought that was the saddest thing to me. And I was
it
just,
is.
How old was she?
She became my best friend, by the way.
Oh,
how old was she?
She was, we were 5 or 6.
Yeah, see? And they don't see, honestly, they don't see a difference. They'll see a different color, but they don't think it makes you. No,
you learn that behavior.
Yeah.
And how sad your mom, moms should be telling their kids is you are just as good as everyone else. You're exactly the same.
Right.
Instead, no, you have to have that conversation that says, even though you are, you have to be careful.
The parents were white.
Oh,
so
right.
They didn't have that comfortable conversation. So
when your parents would have this conversation with you, was there something that triggered it? Did something happen? Or was it just, well, she's old enough to hear this now. We've been planning this for years. Now it's time to have that talk. What would happen?
So my father worked for the Chicago Police Department for 25 years. So a lot of the things he would bring from home and just to talk about, I wouldn't say that he would like sugarcoat it, but he'll say, you know, that's just because they're black.
And yeah.
Like, what does that mean? You know, why do you keep saying that? He's like, you'll learn eventually. And then he started telling me other stories. They're like, yeah, they arrested him because he was black, but they let him go. They had him for 4 to 5 days, you know, just because he was black. And I was just like, okay, you know. And so ever since then, I was just like, if something happens, you also have to ask the question, is it because they were of color? You know, it's just natural now.
When I was a kid, this is funny because WGM plays a role in this story. We were listening to a Milt Rosenberg episode where they were talking about the Holocaust, and I was a very young kid. And for some reason, at that age, I didn't know that it had happened. And my parents were in the car, and I said, "Am I understanding this right? Could this possibly have happened in Germany that a guy was so maniacal that they killed Jews just because they were Jewish?" And my mom and dad were telling me, and I don't know if it's a similar instance with you, Jasmine, but I was just honestly for days, I was in a daze because I was going, how could that have happened? And not that long ago, was it a similar feeling when you just go, wait, that's the way this country works? We're the most advanced country in the world and we're still playing by those rules. Were you doing that?
Yeah, actually, me and my friends had a conversation about this yesterday. And one of my friends went to D.C. to visit the African American Museum that they have now. I forgot what it's actually called. But he said he was really taken back by it. Like, he had to, there are 6 floors to the building. He said the first 3 floors were about slavery, and it literally took him back, and he had to sit down because it was so much to take.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. He was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened, and it's not that long ago.
Wow.
That's what I never realized when I was a kid, how recent this all is.
Yeah, right.
Like, oh my, the civil rights movement was not that long ago.
I know.
You know?
That a few generations ago, a woman couldn't vote just because she was
right.
a woman.
It
she
just,
couldn't vote.
It just blows
a few
me away.
Generations ago. That's amazing. I mean, in one respect, you go, well, thank goodness for progress.
Right.
Because that means in a short amount of time, we figured out that women should be able to vote, that if two men or two women fall in love, that they should be allowed to get married. You know, that should have been going on forever, but that's just a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's so crazy. I can't wait to, you know, hear our grandkids when they go, wait a minute, in your lifetime, that couldn't take place. No. You know?
Well, I hope they don't go backwards.
I can't tell you.
History seems kind of weird. I mean, nowadays.
I'm the same.
Yeah.
I think that
that's
every
my
day.
Fear.
That we're
that
regressing.
It's cyclical,
instead of progressing.
And we'll regress to whatever didn't make us great.
I know. So when will this stop being a story? Every time somebody accomplishes something and they go, it's the first African American person to do this, or it's the first Asian person or Hispanic person to do this, I go, boy, I hope there's a time in the not too distant future where that doesn't have to be an element in the story.
I feel the
where
same
we just
way.
Go, well, that's a person who achieved something. why? I think about this, you know, I'm a huge movie fan, and every once in a while, a woman will be fortunate enough to direct a movie that's nominated, and they always put, and I go,
yeah.
It right? kills me that women are so capable, and yet...
Well, until it becomes the norm.
That's it,
and
right?
And I will say social media, the one good thing about it is keep them coming. Yeah. Keep filming these instances, and because that's how people learn. They see it, and they're like, really?
Absolutely.
I think people just, you know, and I have said this before, most of my friends don't know black people. They don't have a black friend.
How does that happen?
I know. It's terrible. It's I don't know if it's where I live. Actually, it is.
It is.
Because when I moved there, I was like, where? I came from Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, where are the minorities? There were no minorities.
Yeah, I had to. I'm sorry.
It's almost like you can't, you can forgive them a little bit because it's like, okay. And then they have this perception.
Yeah.
Right.
Just, and so the minute they meet someone, because I can't tell you how many times in my life I've said, no, I work with the black girl. She's lovely.
Right.
Jazz.
Right.
And look, lovely hair. God, that hair's great. You know what I mean? And then I have to, like, dispel these myths of, you know, it's, I don't even know, because they just don't know. The more it's out there to me, the better it is.
I think
this
you're
woman
right.
sounded so intelligent.
Sure.
So calm.
Did everything right.
Obviously, she did everything right. She did everything right. So there's nothing you can say about her that's going to put her in the bad spot.
Right. Right. She's not going to,
except she had that coupon that may have been expired.
Right. Better call
the police.
The stores take expired coupons all the time.
And the 911's like, are you really?
I know.
You want me to go over there for a coupon?
You know what? That was a 311
call. That was a 311 call.
At best. Thanks, Judy, for hanging out. Anna and I will say goodbye to you in just a little bit. Come back for that. It should be magical.
Oh,
it's Bill on WGN.
Like Venice.
Yeah, like Venice. Hard to believe, but the bonus hour has come to a close.
I don't know why you make me mad during the bonus hour.
Well, it's the funniest thing. Normally, when you're not here, the last hour is nothing but frivolous and fun, and then when you're here, it gets very heated.
Is that true, Jasmine?
Very heated, yep.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Well, I bring my passion.
You bring that. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
We're festive people.
You will come back, the schedule tells us, on Friday.
Apparently.
To fill in once again. I hope you're okay with that.
I hope I can find a parking spot. Now I know where the place is.
Spot hero. I'll talk to the spot hero
people. I know.
People.
That's what Dean Richards said.
We'll get you a spot somewhere nice. It'll be all right. Special guest hosts all the rest of the week.
Who's tomorrow?
Tomorrow will be one Harry Tynowitz.
Okay. And Wednesday, Toomey.
Wednesday is Mike Toomey.
Thursday
is Charles Nelson Reilly from Match Game will be on, and then you're back on Friday.
I know Charles Nelson.
Yeah.
I think I'm awful with names.
He died a couple years ago.
Well, you...
I didn't know this either.
No, you didn't, because we're not 60.
Not 60.
Why do you do that? My husband says things about sports that are not true, and then I regurgitate them on TV. He's like, why'd you say that? That wasn't true. Don't do that. Thank God for the interweb.
Thank goodness for the internet.
And the Googles.
That's it, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the bonus hour. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
This sort of behavior tomorrow. Thanks, Anna. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
That's it. Bye, everybody.